Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Mom, Ama, Ibu, Ama, Leong Chan, we want to say Happy Blessed Mother's Day. In Proverbs 39 verse 1 to 9 is most likely the advice given by Bathsheba, the mother to King Solomon, and how wise, right, that even the wisest man around on earth, his mom, you know, would want to make sure that he received the best advice. So you can go back. It's a very familiar passage during Mother's Day for us to quote from Proverbs chapter 31, but you can go back and read verse 1 to 9, which is advice of from a mother. And what we know is Bathsheba, she was definitely far from being perfect. May I add, just like our mothers. But like all mothers, she desired the very best for her children. And mothers, can I say your children are very far from perfect? Okay, especially this one. So we are sorry for the times we haya yala, you tell already, or yeah, no already. Okay, we are sorry for that because deep inside it, you know we love you very, very much. I remember my mom saying, while I'm still alive, you cannot remove this benefit that I have to worry and sometimes nag over you. It comes from my heart of love. So to all mothers, we remain very, very appreciative of you. And this is a day for us to honor you, to remind ourselves that without you, we wouldn't even be here. I think we also never know the tough times that you as mothers go through. I think there also would be single mothers in our midst. There are some of you who have lost a mother. We'll never understand that, right? But I just want to honor the wives, the mothers, the aunties, the sisters, the spiritual mothers. But may I also encourage the daughters, the sisters, and nieces in our midst, that may you be inspired by your respective mothers to embrace this experience called motherhood. Let's pray. Father God, we are so honored to have our mothers in our lives. You know, at times we may not see eye to eye, but we love them, and they love us so much. So we pray that you bless our mothers, Lord. Bless, Lord, the aunties. Bless, Lord, the spiritual mothers. Bless our grandmothers. Bless them with their heart's desires. And we know they desire children to do well. And Lord, we as children want to honor them. Father, as a congregation, as citizens of Malaysia, we also remember May 13, Lord. To those of us who know about it, Lord, it was a terrible black mark in the history of the country. And may we learn to recognize the fact that what we have today is a result of previous leaders who have plowed to make what Malaysia is today. And we pray for racial harmony. We pray for mutual respect between all races. We pray for our government. Lord, teach us to pray, Lord, especially when situation seems bleak. Teach us to pray even more. We invite you, Lord, to speak to us, Holy Spirit, this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, while the slide is being launched, I would like to caution everyone to please be careful of the separation that is present between the head and the heart. I remember a few weeks back when our elder Yifong preached a very good message, the introduction of 1 Kings. I was sitting there enthused. You know, sometimes you have like a tough week and you tell yourself, I'm going to come to church. I want to set things right. I want to start anew. And I remember feeling pumped, right? The moment the service was finished, I went out, spoke to a few people, got slightly irritated at some comments, but I tell myself, nope, it's not going to spoil myself. I'm going to have a great day, going to have a great week with the Lord. Went down to the car park, drove off. Slight irritation that came from some cars outside, but I told myself, not going to be perturbed by that. I'm just going to have myself a good day and great day with the Lord. when on the LDP, and I think Satan was driving behind me, seriously, because there was this SUV which was chasing me on a Sunday, you know, Sunday, not even 12 p.m., right, chasing me and, you know, tailgating me. I was tempted to show my side, but then Karen can be a testimony to tell, no, I was cool. So I, like, went back to the middle lane, check. Gonna have a great day, great week with the Lord. And I went home. All it took was for one of my child to say something, which was actually quite funny when I think about it, slightly sarcastic. But at that heat of the moment on a Sunday, I snapped. I snapped, and the whole house was alarmed. Even the cats were perturbed. And it reminded me how important, from time to time, we as parents need to seek forgiveness. And I couldn't do it on the spot, right? Because you're fuming mad. But a few hours later, I had to, you know, with my tail in between my legs, go up to my family, especially to my children, and said, I do apologize for the way I snapped. And, you know, my children, if I say, you know, Papa is far from perfect, you probably hear a very loud amen from that side. Because they know. I mean, my wife also knows, right, who I am. And I just want to put a caveat there. I think sometimes as children growing up in the church, we feel that, hey, you know, you see people serving, they should be near sainthood. I think far from that. The reason why we serve is out of a response of joy. You know, so I hope that my children, the children of this church, you grow up to see, yeah, your parents are there, they're work in progress, and that we really desire that you do not grow up without God. The reason why we do, why we serve, is really because He is the good and great God. So there you go, a quick cheat code, you know, to involve Jesus in all areas of your life. Okay, it's a bit of a busy slide. This is actually credit to Bible Study Fellowship, right? To those of us who participate, we've been doing this series on 1 Kings. So it shows the good and bad kings, right? And you can see there are different legends from different kingdoms. So what I just did is, you know, very cursory, you know, with certain kings, I put a red legend to say, not good king. You know, someone like David, I gave him green because, hey, known as a man after God's heart, right? Solomon, definitely wise, but the more involved, the wives and all that, definitely not green. And then you see there are kings who were evil, kings who were good for a while, then was evil, then good. It's like humankind just don't seem to get it, right? We don't seem to get it. But we are so thankful that the Lord that we worship is a God of many, many chances. All this is actually pre-scripted. We've got the Lord's arrival, right? Solomon came about, close to 1,000 years before he came, and yet our mighty God already had that plan for redemption. So how wonderful to know that the God that you and I worship is a God who will give you and I many, many multiple chances. But beware, just as some of these kings, wise as they were, they had this hardened heart. That is something that the Lord can't control. Because God, as a true gentleman, will give you and I the chance to respond. And to some of us, that chance might very well be today for us to turn over a new leaf, for us to have that positive change in our lives. Our dear Pastor Melissa started us off with introduction to chiastic structure, right? Which shows the real importance whenever you look at verses. And our Elder Kong Wing, you know, he zoomed in last week. It was a good sermon. He talked about how Solomon, King Solomon, emphasized his own palace. So this week, yours truly has got the privilege to expound further on why King Solomon had this fixation with Pharaoh's daughter, which in the end actually touches a lot on his struggle with lust. And I was telling the Lord, why, Lord? You know this is an area that I've struggled in. And you want me to come up stage? You know, because each time I find when we are asked to prepare, we are the ones who struggle the most. You know, I'm trying to tell myself, you want me to unpeel myself in front of the congregation? But I'm going to trust you all as my extended spiritual family as I tell you all a little bit more about why lust is very insidious. We come back to the Ten Commandments. I think God in his infinite wisdom knew that lust is a dangerous form of cancer. Some say, what's the difference between covetousness and lust, right? But if I were to just read out for a word very clearly, so this is a child's version, and I love children's version because they go back to the essentials. Yeah? Where it clearly says, just be happy with what you have. Don't wish for other people's things. Okay? But for the adult version, very clearly, we are not to covet our neighbor's house, our neighbor's wife, neighbor's servants, ox, yeah, properties, right? And very clearly, in another context, in the message, it says, no lusting after your neighbor's house, or wife, or servant, or maid, or ox, or donkey, or cars, or properties, or unit trusts, or investments, and any other things. Do not set your heart on anything that is your neighbor's. So, my dear PGFC family, in the last 24 hours, or even late at night yesterday, how many of us would have struggled in this area? In this area where we very well knew we shouldn't be lusting, we shouldn't be coveting, but like what Pastor Melissa alluded to in her sermon, right? These are like some of our favorite sins, very, very personal sins. Consider the fact that the Lord gives us multiple opportunities to return to Him. I remember growing up, my mother, when she prays, she would reference to how the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's taken from Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 23. And that, up to me as an adult, I always remember, you know, it's like, okay, GG, ready, finish, you know, something bad happened, never mind. God gives another chance to rebound. And speaking of prayer, my father occasionally reminds me on my Sunday school teacher, Auntie Su Ling, who specifically prayed for me when she found out that I'm a temple-going child. You know, and he always attributes to the fact that when Sunday school teacher prays, they pray that earnest prayer. And we do have leaders who prayed for us. And my encouragement to all of us here today is, when was the last time we prayed for our leader, our teacher, our pastor? You know, it works both ways. You know, like sometimes I talk to friends whom I'm not called for a long time, I tell them that I needed to check my phone because I need to check that when you call, I can receive call, not just me chasing you. Okay? But joke aside, I think it's a good way to honor those in leadership, those who have impacted us, to pray for them. Or wherever the Lord, you know, comes out with a name or a face, you pray for that person. Now, talking about this area, I need to also commend a good friend of mine, Adrian Ang, who basically admonished me. There's a specific period in my life, right? He basically, very smart, took me out, had a nice time, right? Mama, and then just I'm going out, he said, hey, wait, I need to talk to you. I was locked in his car for that 15, 20 minutes, but he spoke into my life and said that actually what you're doing is not right. And then I found out later that my parents used him to talk to me. But the fact is, because of the close relationship that I had with him, or I still have with him, I could accept it. And I'm reminded, as I reviewed my life preparing for this sermon, Pastor Sam, I know you're here today. Auntie Christine, thank you for walking with a young man, you know, who struggled. Thank you for accepting me into your house those few times when you spoke into my life. I will never forget that. Like it, you also played a very pivotal role. You know, how you spoke. Yeah, and there are numerous faith heroes in this church. People who quietly serve, people who quietly impact, who quietly encourage. To these unsung heroes, keep on at it. The life that you touch, we'll never forget that input. But I'm here to tell you this uncomfortable topic about lust, right? It's not so foreign, you know. It's not so foreign, and it's so easy for us to say, hey, let's just concentrate on Solomon, you know? He's so silly, you know? But when I was looking at this, I also need to remind myself, what is the Lord trying to tell me? Me? It's taught me to, it's demonstrated to me that being in the church is good, being part of a cell group is good, having a blessed family is, of course, wonderful. But how insidious things are if you're not careful, because you can grow up, you can see each other, but there are secret sins which happen, which only you and the Lord think, I mean, you think only you would know, but the Lord knows. And left uncontrolled, before you know, the little fire rages the entire forest. But let's go back to Solomon, okay? Because I see the nudge there, right? We're here to learn from Scripture. And if you look, who was King Solomon? I divided into three parts. First of all, if you look at him as who he was before even he came to earth, right? I think that he was truly blessed, right? He was truly blessed because he was known to be the wisest king, yeah, of all. He had a fantastic start. I find that he's got unparalleled wisdom as a result of the Lord being pleased. And it's documented in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, when it says that Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. And one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, what shall I give you? Verse 5 clearly tells that he wasn't Chinese because he didn't ask, I want more wishes. Okay? I want unlimited. No. It records for us that Solomon, in his pure heart at that point in time, said, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern your great people? And you know that he wasn't just being political, it was just plain words, because God sees through a facade. Right? And I choose to believe this was a pure request coming from this young man, this young ruler, and God met him at that point in time. And it records for us, God was pleased. So to me, I think he was just so blessed. Right? He had beautiful heritage in the form of being the second son to King David and Bathsheba. And there are numerous other good stuff, right? The third king, and he was also the last king of unified Israel. Now let's talk about his achievements. When we look at scriptures, it also documents, right, that he was a man of multi resources. But to me, I say that, hey, the biggest achievement that I can record is God appeared twice to him. Okay, this is really something. So, Pastor Soon Hong, I didn't know you're here today, but I referenced you because for the short few months that I was working in the church, I remember coming into church every day. And when you come into church, you see Pastor Soon Hong last time, first thing in the morning, you see him doing this. So I thought, how come the pastor comes so early to sleep? You know, but you see properly, his mouth is moving. Yeah. You know? And I observe from afar the spiritual discipline Pastor Soon Hong has. He starts off each day. It's not just one of those, Lord, bless Malaysia, bless PGFC, let's start. He spends that time, and I believe he spends additional time at home, right, with the Lord. And yet, at that point in time, when I was asking him for advice in my life direction, he clearly told me, he said, actually, at that point in time, I don't know about now, Pastor Soon Hong, but he said, at that point in time, he himself hasn't heard from the Lord directly, like, hello, hello. But yet, he says, God speaks. God speaks through his prayer life. God speaks through the reading of his word. So to Pastor Soon Hock, Auntie Swetling, thank you for demonstrating to us, you know, how important spiritual discipline is. Because when we culminate all this spiritual discipline in a good time, during our bad times, we draw on that. And my family also appreciates being accountable to you. So there you go, PGFC, right? Even we in our family, having attended PGFC for decades, we have our fair share of struggles, which some of you don't know. In fact, most of you do not know. But to some of the leaders, they know. And I'm just here to tell you, this is real. And we want to also say, or rather I want to say, how important it is for us as congregation members to find that pastor, to find that church leader, to find that friend whom you can confide in. It's important because if we don't do that, we end up isolating, right? Today, go to church, I on this profile, this is how I am, you know, and then we struggle with all there is from Monday to Saturday. I'm not asking for us to be church prefects, right, when we admonish each other. I trust all of us here, we know how important it is to treasure that relationship. We're not asking to everyone to go on a notepad, oh, today, why your shirt tucked out, today, what? No, I don't think we're going to be dead. Yeah, but having grown up in this church, I can tell you, it helps being accountable. It helps being vulnerable. Yeah. I actually asked my wife. I hinted to her. I said that, going to touch on the area of lust. What do you think about, you think I got a lot to share in this area? Without battling for 2 seconds, Karen said, you think you're Jesus? Of course. Yeah. Now, so Solomon, okay, I digress, we're talking, but he had a lot of good things. You know, look at it here. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs, 1,000 over songs. He governed Israel like never before. But yet, for me, I find that the biggest win he had was just God appearing twice to him. Yeah. And then we visit, of course, the downfall. Yeah. How his little private sin called lust led to him being the last king of unified Israel. 1 Kings chapter 11 clearly says, right, he loved 700 wives, 300 concubines. Yeah. And once this lust took root, he was basically the key enabler in enabling Israel to worship foreign gods. Something that God told them clearly, I abhor that. You are supposed to expel this out. You're not supposed to intermarry. It was very, very clear. And yet, Solomon fell in. Solomon was so preoccupied with his mega, mega projects, right, that he actually taxed his people heavily. There were slave-like conditions, you know, just for him to get his accolades. And he was really brutal. Right? I mean, you might say a great strategist, but to just sit on a throne, he had to kill. He had to kill those he felt under threat. This from the wisest man of all time. Now, on the subject of lust, let me also tell you, there are different characters in the Bible being referenced to, and sometimes we just glaze over them. Remember his father, David? Oh, he had a big time with lust, right? Here he was as the king of Israel with all the resources. Was it wrong that he happened to see, you know, Bathsheba bathing? Of course, the wives will say no. The wives will say yes, it's wrong. But in defense of King David, I mean, he's got a large portico. Maybe he accidentally saw, right? But it is what he did after that which was totally wrong. Yeah, and I remember our Dr. Ng Kam Wing many years ago said that not wrong for birds to fly over your head, referring to nasty or sinful thoughts. But say, for goodness sake, please don't let them build a house and condominium and all that, you know, because the more you pander to it, it reaches into your heart, yeah, and then all will be lost then. Now, in the Bible, besides David, also David didn't just have a private sin between him and Bathsheba. As a result of that, he was a murderer, putting his best, most faithful man, Uriah, right to be murdered. He had to lie, he had to cheat. Do we also remember Herod? This was, of course, another chapter altogether. King Herod, you know, he was so, first of all, definitely lust gripped him because he went and chased after his sister-in-law. Right, and that's why from then on, John the Baptist basically tried to correct him, but he says, I'm not going to repent. You just keep quiet and I continue my life. And because he didn't get rid of that, scripture records, there was an occasion when his stepdaughter did a dance which pleased him so much, you know, that he granted almost half of his kingdom. Now, scripture doesn't record, but something is telling me the king, you know, wouldn't be impressed by a lady coming up to do, you know, some simple YMCA dance. It must have been something so tantalizing for him to say, I'm going to be doing something. Because that dance led to him giving a silly wish, which led to murder. John the Baptist hit on a platter. He knew it was wrong, but he was too caught in it to even back out. So beware. Beware the danger of lust and covetousness. I mean, I come back to this diagram, and you look at that short period, right, when Saul, between Saul, David, and Solomon, this is the period where there was a united kingdom for Israel. That was only, if I max out, right, 120 years max. As a result of Solomon's intent in feeding his own self, it led to a division which lasted for hundreds and thousands, right, and hundreds over years. Israel, there was infighting. So all this talk about, you know, what I do is between me and whatever, it's foolish. There's nothing called private here. You can see it was just him at first, but a decision that he made caused Israel to be where it was. Please know that left by ourselves, men, and of course I must say women, right? We are doomed. We are doomed because it's just tough. I mean, it's just like a few weeks back, I was telling you, after a beautiful message, I really desire, I wanted to start off well, I wanted to have a fantastic week, but a simple, small thing, you know, just sparks me off and riles me all over. No matter how bad, God has a redeeming plan. Because over here, that redeeming plan happened way even before Solomon sinned, right? Because in God's plan, he knew he had to send Jesus. Because to those of us who do struggle with personal sin, don't we sometimes feel like Paul when he says that, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. Okay? So, children, I caution you to don't simply misquote this from Romans 7, verse 15. Because previously, when I was struggling in my studies and my father asked me, and I think I referenced something like this to him, he was very good. He didn't rebut me on the spot, but he came back with a nice bookmark, leather one, I still remember, with gold trimmings. That bookmark clearly told me, I trust in God, but I must still study. Yeah, so quote with context, children. To those of us who are struggling, and I know, because I've spoken to different people, one-on-one, friends, you know, and we have spoken, right? And some of you say that, yeah, it's tough, you know, but it's a very private thing. Or some of us say that, yeah, whatever we're struggling with, never mind, we try again. The key to this is we need to be able to bring light to it. Now, bring light doesn't mean you asking for the station and telling everyone what your desperately sin is, right? But bring out to open means trusting that person to journey with you. We spoke previously about having 3 in the morning friends. Now, some of us really have those 3 in the morning friends. But it's okay if you don't have a 3 in the morning friend. Because at this point in time, your friend might be a midnight friend. Your friend might be a 11 p.m. friend. Okay, you know I'm speaking figuratively, right? It would mean you might not be so close right now, but you build up that point to speak to that someone. But do not be a fair-weather friend. The definition of a fair-weather friend is this. Someone that you see week in, week out, and you know the pleasantries. But when you ask, really, how is that person doing? All you can say is, so-and-so is working here and there, so-and-so, how many children? That's it. So that is the danger, you know, my dear extended spiritual family members. We can grow up in a beautiful church like this, and when we don't engage and be vulnerable to each other, all we know is just pleasantries. And the danger is actually not so much for others. The danger is for us. Because when we do go through that tough time, who then do we talk to? Yeah. So I want to echo what Karen told me, right? Unless we're Jesus, we are struggling in respect to different areas in our life. Now, my cell group leader, Adrian, also illuminated this wisdom, right? He said that actually King Solomon knew having those 400 foreign wives and 300 concubines were a bad thing from the start. And it's recorded, see, cell group leader from PJFC, he didn't just say, he give verse. So he said, 2 Chronicles 8, verse 11, look it up, okay. And it says, Solomon moved his wife, Pharaoh's daughter, from the city of David to the new palace he had built for her. He said, my wife must not live in King David's palace, for the ark of the Lord has been there and is holy ground. When I read this, you know, from Adrian, I was like, because it reminded me of what our Pastor Melissa told us the last time. Did you get that part about harboring a secret sin, which we know is not right, but God, never mind lah, you know. It's just between me, maybe just you. I find it funny, right? The world's wisest man, his wisdom was lost all on Rehoboam, his son. Because in just one generation, Rehoboam rejected the elders, right? Instead of being nice to his people, he took ill advice. He even doubled up the workload. And as a result, they actually rejected him as their king. And that is why I think it's important that we be careful of the heritage that we're going to be leaving to our children, our younger generation. Might I say that heritage also works both ways? When I look at a church like this, I mean, we're thankful for the leaders that we have today, but we'll be remiss if we don't recount back the hard work done by people like our Reverend Siu Wo, our Uncle Daniel, Uncle Min Ching, Uncle Lawrence, so many of you, you know, quietly serving and working behind. But I choose to believe this set of leaders, they didn't just do pleasantries with each other. They had time to be vulnerable with each other. They had time to be real. So, my dear church members, I'm here to caution us that we don't compartmentalize God. The danger, right? I mean, we grew up with this, it's like we feel like this Solomon, right? He's 700 wives. I one wife, enough already, right? But that's not the point here. The point here is if someone as wise as him can fall and he fall big time, you and I can have a real big fall. It is important not to compartmentalize God, because if we can profess Jesus as our Lord, He must be Lord over all. If not, He is not Lord at all. Pastor Sun Hong, I was listening to you last time, so I wrote this down. Okay? But it's true. Jesus must be Lord over all areas of our lives. The root behind, you know, all of this started, I don't blame the wives, okay? It's so easy to say, it's the wives, it's the concubines who let him, but hey, you know, it takes two to tango. I think at the heart of it, there was this spirit of lust, this spirit of covetousness, which Solomon reeled into. So my CG was very dear. Yesterday, they said that, hey, you be real lah, disclose lah, all your last details all to us. So I can tell you all, CG members, don't worry. We have a lifetime for this. I give installments slowly. Okay. But joke aside, when you and I do sin, sometimes we think it's just me, right? But when you and I do sin, the danger is we can end up like Solomon and be an enabler. I don't think Solomon, when he was, you know, having whatever sin he has with lust, with covetousness, he thought his impact would actually negatively impact Israel, negatively impact the future generation. But it did. And to those of us who do struggle with the screen, you know, with what you're watching on the screen, it's not just between us and the screen. Imagine if your child or someone younger than you comes up to you one day and said, so and so, I'm struggling in this area, can you help me? And all we can say is, oh, it's like that one. Don't worry. It's normal. Which is how the world would view it, right? Hey, you're not harming anything, right? It's no problem. But we then have to live up the part where Jesus must be Lord over all areas of our life. So very clearly, Solomon's personal sin led to him being the last king of unified Israel. So clearly, right? From 12 tribes, God raised 3 adversaries. And before that, you know, actually, if we say that Solomon, if he was a bit blur, if he wasn't as wise, I think you could have just accepted it. But when we say that this is the wisest man there was, here he was. They say love, lah, but how can you love 700 wives and 300 concubines? Lah? The word here is lust, lah, right? I don't even know how he apportioned that, but then my wife Karen said, you don't have to imagine that part. Okay? But see, after the wives, he actually allowed them, he enabled them by allowing them to worship their gods. He actually condoned pagan influences to Israel. And scripture records for us, God abhors it. Abhors, I think it means hate, what? Kuasa dua, power of two. Right? That the God here that's being referenced, Ashoreth, goddess of Sidonians, right? She was said to be the mother goddess of fertility, sexual love, and war. Okay? There's also Molech, right? And it's described twice for us. He was the detestable god of the Ammonites. And it says that the deity, right, was worshipped through sacrifice. So, of course, some people said, was it really sacrificed in a fire or was it just a ritual? But either way, it was very clearly, God abhorred that. God abhorred people sacrificing to gods. Then there was also Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab. Right? Again, sacrifice of children as a burnt offering. And he then built high places. So this is really a double, triple, I don't know, quadruple whammy, right, from the wisest man. It was clearly mentioned even to the Israelites when they were entering Canaan land. You cannot. You don't play a fool with this. It records that Exodus 34, verse 16, it clearly says, God warned, when you choose some of their daughters as wives for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will lead your sons to do the same. Okay? God abhors worship unto others so much, he labels it as prostitution when we gaze and give ourselves unto others. There's a strong warning again, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3. Do not intermarry, they will turn your sons from following me. To serve other gods and the Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. Very, very harsh warnings. And yet, because of the element of free will, the wisest man on earth gladly plunged deeper and deeper and deeper. And as a result, so God, we read, right, and to those of us who went through the lesson on 1 Kings, we read, there will come a time God says, enough. And over here, the little part of chapter 11, it records for us, God raised adversaries. God raised enemies for this so-called anointed guy. We've got Hadai the Edomite. And he had a personal vendetta because the whole family were annihilated when David went in to destroy Edom. And he managed to escape, right? And he actually had favor with Pharaoh. He could have continued on, but the moment he knew David and Joab were dead, he went back, right? Because he needed to claim back the honor and vengeance. There was also Rezon, son of Eliada. Yeah, and what happened is David also destroyed that part, so very hostile towards Israel. And this one is the best. God raised one of Solomon's officials, and he received confirmation. Scripture records only he received confirmation from the prophet Ahijah that out of 12 tribes, 10 will be given to you. And it records, right, this was the biggest threat because Solomon wanted to kill Jeroboam. So imagine this, God using your enemy to come after you. And yet, at this point in time, I believe God was giving that chance. You repent. You come back. But scripture records, no, he went head on. And that has led to what we know of today. As someone who has gone first into this area of lust, of covetousness, and a lot of other things, I can tell you it enslaves. And I'm here to also tell you there's a solution. Of course, Jesus is the almighty solution, right? But here in this church, we have wise and trusted leaders in the form of our pastors, our elders, our CG leaders, our friends here. I can testify to you in all my years knowing of, you know, of people sharing their troubles, their intimate things. I have never once heard of things going out beyond the four walls. Never. You can attest to it. I'm very proud of C3PO, of SS3. You all know. We speak about private things, right? But it never gets out because the trust is there. We all need accountability. And I'm here to tell you, the church can help. This church can help. We also must ask ourselves, right, why God is so, why God abhors it, you know, when we lust or covet, when other gods, you know, when you and I were looking at a certain screen or whatever, why is it he would abhor it? Because we are removing the rightful attention from him. He is the only one that's supposed to get the full glory. I'm no Hebrew expert, okay? But it clearly says here that it's the root word of looking at something long enough that it's going to be a strong attachment, something so strong. What is the Lord speaking to you and me this morning? I started my message today by saying that be careful that we don't just feel our head, you know, nice. Whenever we study the scriptures, it's for there to be a change of heart, which only God can do, which only the Holy Spirit can do. I won't be going through the details, right? But I can tell you, my wife has an affidavit from me. You know, there was a time when I really struggled with something. I even don't know how to tell her, right? But because we were part of an accountability group, you know, we call it a couples fellowship, okay? It was fellowship for a while until some couples begin to bring in serious stuff into the business. So you talk serious stuff on the way home, sure, the wife talks serious stuff, lah. So the Holy Spirit also worked in such a way, so I knew that I need to tell her something. And I struggled. So don't know how to say, so I wrote it down. I don't know why it's not, because after today she reminds, you remember what you wrote? You remember? And I'm so appreciative for Karen, because she's been very graceful to me. You know, I don't think even my parents know it, but I think let's leave it there, Pap and Mom, don't have to ask more, okay? I mean, some of these things are very, very private, right? Between spouse and all that. But I appreciate and I honor her because she gave me the time. And when I did confide, she didn't tell me, leave, you know? She told me to leave, L-I-V-E, lah. Yeah? But she gave me the chance. She restored me. Of course, it wasn't immediately hunky-dory. We went through a process where I had to re-earn her trust. Yeah, I think I got some explanation to do my three children later on, but okay, we'll do it. We got a lifetime, okay? But I guess I'm here today to tell you that all of us here are traveling in this journey of life. There are good days, you know, but there are days, you know, we just feel quite defeated. And the role of the church is to help us with the power of the Holy Spirit to get up, to encourage each other in this journey. I don't know who told me this, but it's lovely words, you know. It just says that, watch your thought, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And watch your characters because they determine your destiny. A word from the Lord I want to share with all of you as my beloved spiritual family today and those online. James chapter 1 verse 15 clearly says, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. These are not typical verses you like to send to each other during happy birthday, right? We always like Psalm 23. But I think there comes a time and season when we need to hear from the Lord. And just like what Pastor Melissa said, you don't need to be wise. You need to actually just have a heart to obey and to respond. Sin is very insidious. This is the time, actually, I want you, can you just take out your handphone and just flash it to me? Yeah, those upstairs also. Just take it up and just flash. Let me feel like a rock artist. Yeah, just flash like that. No, handphone, must take handphone. Don't flash your hand. Take your handphone, just flash at me. Ah, on flashlight also can. Oh, very nice. I also join you. Flash, very nice. Okay, flash you also. This is the only time you can flash. Okay. I believe, now, remain flashing also. Those of you also have got the Bible app on your phone. You read the Bible, you read the Lord's Word, you encourage each other with memory verse. Same amount of... Okay. Now, this thing here is what we call a smartphone. But this thing here is also called a portal to destruction. Gentlemen, I think you know what I'm referring to. But last I checked, my female friends also tell me they also struggle with certain things. Over on this phone, there are things, of course, we glorify God, we share memory verse, we make call, we check on each other. But this same device, we have to ask ourselves, are we having instances where we are harboring a private sin or private sins to cultivate? I can say that because been there, done that. So today, please know it is the Lord who convicts, the Holy Spirit, and He's always gentle. He gives us that opportunity. Day by day, repent, change, come back to me. But there will come a time, if you're not careful, the heart gets hardened. So our prayer is on this day, we clearly involve Jesus to be Lord over all of our life. Father God, I thank you for my spiritual family, a church I've known, Lord, for many years. I thank you, Lord, more importantly, that you are the head of this church. You are the Lord. You are our God. And thank you, God, you're a God of many, 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 many chances. You're a loving God. And yet, Lord, we know, for some of us, there are areas in our life which do not truly glorify you. And there are areas, we know, of course, all of us here are not perfect, but some of us, Lord, may be struggling in an area where we just don't seem to be able to get up. The more we try, the harder we fall. Father, the handphones that we're holding is an example of that. May we learn to accept you to be the Lord of our mobiles, to be the Lord of our conversations, the Lord of the pictures, the Lord of the videos that we see, the Lord of our thoughts, most important, the Lord of our heart. And God, I know, Lord, there are friends, there are leaders here in this church who welcome an opportunity for trust to be demonstrated as we help each other pick ourselves up from the mud. Because we can't do it by ourselves, God. We might say it's something secret, but it's so clearly seen in Solomon. Something so secret can actually affect not just us, but our future generations. And we do not want that because we know it's not good. So Lord, this morning, we thank you. There is this redemptive opportunity to return to you. And Lord, thank you that you're always loving, you're always affirming. You are the loving Father who is just awaiting for us to lovingly, willingly return to you. I ask that you teach us not just to have knowledge in our heads, but that you will give us the vulnerability, that we will allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we will allow ourselves to be courageous enough to acknowledge the situation and to do something about it, not just with you, but with a trusted friend. We love you, our Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.